Hey, good morning, church family. Welcome back to an online message here at Church on the Rock. Listen, I want to connect with you a little bit in this way. If you are tuning in for the first time in a while, or maybe over the last couple of weeks, and you are wondering, why are things different? Why am I not watching a live stream of the message on Sunday? Here's the real reason for that is the high school that our church meets in has an auditorium that is under renovations this summer. And so during that time, our church has moved on Sundays from the auditorium down the hall to the gymnasium. And so for our online campus, we are doing a pre-recorded message like this that is being post-produced for you wherever you are watching from. Also, if you are joining us in the family room on a Sunday, welcome. This is just the way that we are doing it right now. So I hope that this serves you and your family well there in that room. I would like to say this to you, though, if you live in our area and you have been considering coming to the building, honestly, the gymnasium has been a remarkable atmosphere. God seems to be doing an incredible thing in our church in that new location. And so we would love to see you there. If you're not able to make it on Sunday, we totally understand. And again, I hope that this serves you well. So our church has been in a series that we've been calling Detours. And this has really been a God-inspired concept that He started to birth in my heart months ago. And so I began to work on it and pray about it and start to unpack it the way that I typically do. Here's the thing that I love so much about this series is that I think that all of us, 100% of the people that would listen to these messages can resonate. Like, none of us can escape the reality of what it's like to experience a detour. Sometimes we have a plan, a hope. We have a thought process about what is going to happen or transpire or what the result of something would become, and it turns out to be different. It becomes a detoured path of some kind. And so far in this series, all that we've talked about is an unexpected change. Like, for example, our church did not expect for the auditorium to go into renovation this summer. And so for us to move to the gymnasium, that was a detour. It was a little bit of an unexpected surprise to us. And we just said, okay, it is what it is. We've got to build a new plan. We move down the hall. God is moving in a mighty way. Maybe you've experienced that too, where something just unexpectedly shifted. It changed. Maybe you had a plan, a hope. Maybe you're thinking, man, by now I thought I would be a fill in the blank, or I thought I would have achieved this, or perhaps I would have been a parent by now, had my own business by now, gotten that promotion by now, been retired by now, whatever it may be. Sometimes things just throw us off because where we thought we'd be at a certain time, we are not there. There's another reality about detours. Sometimes we see them coming. Think about just traffic. If you're just driving down the road in your car and you're just on a normal route, if there is a detour, you will typically be warned ahead of time, a detour's coming. There might be a sign days in advance that tells you at a certain time a road will be closed from this date to this date. You might see signs that say things like one lane traffic ahead, detour coming. You would know that it's coming. Whether it is convenient or not, you know that you're going to be rerouted. Some signs might say things like expect delays. And when we see these warning signs, it gives us opportunity to get prepared. So, hey, if I can expect delays on my morning commute to work, I might need to leave a few minutes early. Either way, it's going to change how we live. Here's what I've realized is that the same thing can happen in our real lives, not just traffic, right? I mean, we all can understand a traffic analogy. But sometimes in our very lives, we see a detour coming. We can see the sunset of something changing. Maybe we see that, man, one day my kids are going to go off to college. Maybe we see that, man, retirement is coming close. Or we see something on the horizon that we know is coming, and we're hoping that we are prepared for it. I want to talk about a story today in the Bible, a particular character in the Bible, one of the greatest leaders, perhaps, of all time, a man by the name of Joshua. But before we can get into his story, we have to go back in time a little bit. I want to set the stage for what is transpiring just before Joshua becomes the leader of God's people, Israel. We're going to back up to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to talk about Moses once again. If you've been with us this year, you know we've been talking about him quite a bit. We've been talking about the Exodus journey of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. We're kind of going back there, but we're going to pick up the story at the very end of the notorious and amazing leader, Moses. We're at the end of his life here in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. The Bible says this, When Moses had finished giving these instructions, so he's been communicating things to all of God's people. He's just being a great leader, and he's giving them all this instruction. It says, when he had finished giving all these instructions to the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old. I just want you to hold on to that. That's going to matter. I'm 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me that I will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. And then he says, Joshua will lead you across the Jordan River, just as the Lord promised. So very quick context. Israel has been set free from Egyptian captivity. At this point in the story, for decades, they've been wandering around in the wilderness, which was very purposeful, but they have been promised by God this land, the promised land, that you will occupy your own space, you'll have your own territory, you'll have homes and farms and villages and all that. It's a guarantee that God gave them before they ever left Egypt. Now they're on the brink of going across the river and actually seeing the land that God has promised them. We have Moses, though, who's at the end of his life and leadership tenure. And here he is saying, all right, everybody, listen, God told me I'm not crossing that river with you. God has told me that I am done with my leadership. He sees the sunset of his leadership on the horizon, and he begins to build his succession plan. And he tells everybody, Joshua's about to be your leader. He's going to be the one who's going to lead you into that land. Now, I would imagine at the time of this announcement, it probably wasn't news or a surprise to Moses. It probably wasn't a surprise to Joshua, but this is the point where it really goes public. Hey, Joshua's going to be the guy that's going to give the leadership reins to you. The Bible says that Joshua was Moses' assistant, so he worked closely with him. He probably had the opportunity to see what Moses did and some of the processes in which that he would use to lead people and lead people well. He's probably being trained and groomed and prepared to take on this incredible role of leadership over God's people. Then the Bible says that God tells Moses, hey, I want you to go up to this particular mountain. And so God takes him up to this mountain and he says, from this mountain, I want you to look across. And Moses actually gets to see the land that has been promised to the people that he's been leading for all this time. And God said, that's the land over there. Joshua will lead them there, but you're not going. In fact, you're going to die right here on this mountain in the land of Moab. So I want to pick up Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord said. Verse 6 is interesting. I wish I had time to get into it today, but I don't. The Bible says that the Lord buried him in the valley near Beth Peor, which I just find incredible. I want to dig into that a little more, because God himself buried Moses. And the Bible says we still don't know exactly where he put him. In fact, the Bible says that Moses was one of the most unique prophets because he was the only one that knew God face to face. They had a unique and powerful relationship. Again, we're not focusing there. I just think it's wildly interesting that he says, man, the Bible says that God buried him in the valley near Beth Peor in Moab, but to this day, no one knows the exact place. Verse 7, and here's again where I want us to focus. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. Man, that's how I want to go out. I just want to be strong and capable, ready, still racing a dirt car. That's all I'm saying. I want to, right to the very end, I want to be clear-minded and strong all the way to the finish line. In verse 8, the Bible says that the people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days, until the customary period of mourning was over. So here we have this big moment, this iconic leader, Moses, this beloved man that had probably built an endearing reputation to these people who had been through so much with them. They were so accustomed to him and his leadership and the way that things went. And this is it. He gives them warning that, guys, I see the sunset of my life and leadership. I will not be crossing that river. I will not be going into the land, but I've got a succession plan. I've got a leader. His name is Joshua. He's capable. He's training. I'm getting him ready, and he will be your new leader. And then the final reality comes that Moses, in fact, dies. And then all of a sudden, we are on the detour. we are in a different path because there's a new leader. There's going to be new methods, new ways, new thinking. All of a sudden, it is different. And then we enter into the story of Joshua. So we're going to go into Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. Now, I've always been captivated by the first chapter of Joshua. It's always been a fascinating story to me. But I want to point a couple of things out that we've already read. The Bible says that Moses had a succession plan, Joshua. And at 120 years old, he says, hey, everybody, be prepared. We're going to be making a leadership change because I am no longer able to lead you. And then at the age of 120 years old, Moses, in fact, dies. Israel mourns his death for the customary period. They go through all the appropriate funeral protocol, all the things that they would have done for any person that would have died like that. And now they are standing on the precipice of a brand new journey and a brand new leader. And yet still, God has to come and speak to Joshua. And he has to reinforce to him this harsh reality. Hey, bro, Moses is gone. It almost feels to me a little bit harsh that God's like, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. And here's the thing. Some of us listening to this message, that actually could be the very pain that you're experiencing because you knew that eventually that loved one that was so close to you was going to pass. The diagnosis said they only have a certain amount of time. And eventually, that death day for them is coming. I'm a pastor, everybody, and I more times than I wish I had been a part of, I have walked with families through tragic loss, through mourning, and through the pain of the separation of a loved one from a family. And in 100% of those cases, whether it was a death that was unexpected and abrupt or a death that the entire family saw coming, the pain at the end is equal. It is painful and difficult and it hurts. And I find myself kind of caught up here in this moment with Joshua, who I think is probably staggered by having lost his mentor, his friend, someone that has poured into him, taught him things, walked side by side with him, arm in arm with him. And here we've already gone through all the customary length of mourning, all the process and appropriate things that Israel would have normally done, they've done. And then God comes to Joshua. And I think, not in a way that's harsh, I actually think in a way that's compassionate. And he says, hey, I know Moses is dead. And hey, I know that that's hard for you. But the time has come. It's your time now. You need to lead these people. And so here's who I'm talking to today, I believe, are the people that knew the detour was coming. But once it got here, you're like, I don't know if I'm ready. Maybe it's retirement because your entire life, your identity has been wrapped up in your title, your responsibilities, the people that counted on you, your team, your routine and schedule. And now you're on the other side. And even though you knew that day was coming, you may have even chosen that day. And even though you knew it was coming, now you're on the other side and you're asking yourself the question, who am I? What do I do now? How do I occupy my time? What's the identity of my life in this detour? I knew it was coming. I don't know if I'm ready. Maybe the whole time your kids were growing up, you just knew that one day they're going to move out of that house. They're gonna go on to lives of their own. Maybe they left to go to college. Maybe they left because they got married. Maybe they just left because them and a couple of buddies got an apartment on the beach and they're just adults now, man. They're just doing life. And you find yourself going, I knew this was coming, but I don't think I'm ready for this. I saw the detour signs and I'm not sure that I'm prepared to actually walk out this season. You might be the brand new mother who said, man, I knew that delivery day was coming. I knew that this was going to be my moment. And here we are. And I'm healthy. And the baby's healthy. And everybody's happy. except for me. Maybe you're fighting the battle of postpartum depression right now, and you can't understand why. There's nothing. That you even understand it logically that I should be happy. I should feel great. But I'm on this detour that I knew was coming, and I don't understand it. I'm not quite sure that I'm ready for it. I think we find ourselves there sometimes. It could have even been a decision for you to move to another position. I knew it was coming. I gave my notice and I worked out my thing, and then here we are. And once you cross that threshold, you go, what now? I honestly believe this might be where Joshua is. He knew it was coming. But I want you to think about it for a moment, because from the time that the public announcement was made to the time that Moses was dead was less than a year. He was 120, the Bible said, when he made the announcement, and he was 120 when he died. I honestly wonder if it snuck up a little bit on Joshua. I knew it was coming, but oh my goodness, I'm not ready. And I almost believe that God needed to spur him into action. Listen, forgive my southeastern country boy analogy here, but it makes me think of when Dale Earnhardt died. I know that's crazy and there are people laughing at me right now, but a young Kevin Harvick thrust into the driver's seat of the most iconic race car of all time to fill the biggest shoes in the sport's history. He was practically a kid and he gets thrust in to the driver's seat of that race car with the world's eye looking at him, wins his third race, and now here he is in his final season, retiring at the end of this season, a legend in the sport, an icon of his own right, a man that is in among some of the greatest drivers of all time. I wonder, was that young guy ready to be thrust into that position? Probably not, but he handled it masterfully. And here's what I want to say to you. I believe that whether you are ready or not, it is in you to walk out the detour path that you find yourself in today. So I want to unpack this a little bit, if I may, because God says, Joshua, the time has come and you will lead these people. Everything that God is speaking into the life of his leader is affirming. It is powerful. It is strong. And this is what I believe God has called me to speak into your life. I believe that this message is to lift you up and to affirm, hey, you're okay. I know you might not feel ready. And I know that you might be filled with questions. And I know that you might be thinking, this got here sooner than I expected, anticipated, or was quite frankly even prepared for. But you're here now. And I believe that God is asking my voice to speak into your life. I want you to hear him saying to you, you're going to be okay. You're ready. This is your time, and you're the one I've called for this moment. Let's get moving. So here's what I want to do. I want to look at some things. We're going to read a few more verses, and we're going to unpack some things before we close in prayer. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 9. I want you to notice something here. He says this, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Verse 9, for this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to the leader of Israel, this young leader, Joshua, speaking into his life. And he says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Hey, be strong and courageous. And I asked myself, why did he have to say that three times? Why did he continue to repeat himself to Joshua repetitively in just a handful of verses, in just the simple conversation, three different times, the same command, be strong and be courageous. Some people might say, well, maybe Joshua's weak and afraid. Maybe God had to say, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, because he was weak and afraid, weak and afraid, weak and afraid. I would respectfully push back on that. Because here's what I want you to notice, that God did not say, get strong and courageous. He said, I want you to be strong and courageous. Here's what I believe, is that God was reminding Joshua who he was. Hey, it's in you. You have it already. I want you to pull up the strength that you already have. I've equipped you. I've prepared you. I've called you. I know that you might wish that Moses was still here, and that you might wish that you could have learned a few more things, taken a few more notes, had a little bit more time to prepare. Maybe you wish that if you'd understood the real gravity of this detour, that maybe you would have taken better notes, been more prepared, leaned in just a little bit more to actually get ready. But God's reminding Joshua, you don't have to get strong. You don't have to get courageous. I'm calling up out of you what I've already put in you. Be strong and be courageous. And to you on your detour that you knew was coming, and you find yourself a little staggered at the reality of how difficult it is for you to navigate that path, I'm just encouraging you this morning, be strong and courageous. Why? Because God's with you. Let's dig into this just a little bit. There's two things that I want to draw out of this text that I think can benefit all of our lives as we find ourselves on detoured paths. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. Here's what God says to Joshua. Study this book of the law continually. Now, let me contextualize that just a little bit, because Joshua did not have this Bible. Okay? All he had was the law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, that included the Ten Commandments and all the do's and the don'ts. It was a lot, everybody. But God said, focus on that law. Study it. In fact, he said, meditate on it. Learn it. Saturate yourself with it. Make sure that you can fully comprehend everything that's written in it, because if you do, then you will be successful and then you will be prosperous. And so here's what I want to say to us, is that we do have this Bible. The law that God called Joshua to focus and hone in on, to pay attention to meditate on, that law was the voice and the words of the Lord. Guess what this is, everybody? It is the voice and the words of the Lord. I heard it said one time, man, if you want to hear what God's voice sounds like, read the Bible out loud. Because this is God's word. And he says, if you will cling to my word, saturate in my word, hone in on the sound of my voice, if you'll lean in to what I am saying and how I am guiding and the instructions that I am giving, then your way will be prosperous and successful. And then he says in verse 9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. I'm with you. I'm here. This morning, maybe you need this so desperately. Maybe you feel like you're at the end of your rope and the grip is getting loose. And I just want to remind you that you have God's word at your disposal. Meditate on it. Dig into it. Get into it. And you have God himself with you. Here's what you have. Number one, his word. Number two, his presence. This is what he has given you. The detour that you are on, he's prepared you for. He's standing with you in it. You have everything you need already to live a life of godliness. You have what it takes. Here's what I want to do as we close. I just would love to read some scripture to you. This is not going to be on the screen. Just sit down, relax, and take it all in. I just want to give you some promises from God's word, about God's word, and about God's presence. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intention of the heart. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. Matthew 4:4, Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The man of God may be complete and ready for every good work. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. John 17:17, Jesus is praying, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Matthew 28:10, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I just gave you the wrong reference. That is 2 Timothy 1:7. Colossians 3:16, the word of let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I got more. You ready? Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Genesis 28:15. Behold, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And finally, James 1:22, and I did cut my list short. I have plenty more where that came from. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen to me. For all the Joshuas hearing this message today, you knew the detour was coming. It snuck up on you so abruptly that you feel paralyzed, perhaps by fear, paralyzed by inactivity, indecision. You feel paralyzed by the surroundings. You're thinking to yourself, I didn't really know it would be this difficult. In fact, I spoke to a woman just days ago talking about the death of her husband. And with a joking voice, she said, well, before he died, I thought I did everything. But now I found out all that he actually does. And you could hear the pain underneath her laughter, because it's a real thing. And maybe that's you. And maybe you find yourself in a place where you say, I don't know really how to go on from here. I believe the word of the Lord for you today is this: be strong and courageous. It's in you. I've called you. I've prepared you. I knew this detour was coming. You knew this detour was coming. Now is the time. Let's get up and let's move from here. Listen to me. All you need to sustain is his word and his presence. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person, every single one that saw the detour coming and thought to themselves, I wasn't ready for this. I don't know what to do now. My prayer for them, Father, is that you would move mightily in them and remind them who they are in you. You've equipped them. You've prepared them. That everything they need, they already have. That they are strong. They are courageous. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that they would cling to your word. They would find scripture and truth that speaks to their story and strengthens their inner person to rise up and do what you've called them to do. I pray, Father, that they would spend time in your presence, hearing from you. Lord God, receiving from you. Father, that they would know that you will never leave them or forsake them. Father, that you are close. I pray for every Joshua that's on a detoured path and doesn't know what to do right now. I pray by the power of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of them that you would come into their story, meet them on the path, and remind them of who they are, just like you did for the leader Joshua. I pray for strength
And I pray for courage in them, Lord God, to rise up from deep within where it already is. And I pray in Jesus' name for you to empower their steps for the detoured path ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe you're watching today and you're like, man, that is moving my heart, but I've never made a decision to step into a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, I would love to give you that invitation today. It is so simple. The Bible says it is by grace that you have been saved. It is not a work of yourself. And so I would love to invite you to simply commit your life to Christ with a very simple prayer. The Bible also says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. If that's you, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer that we pray every single week at our church. And it's just a simple prayer that will affirm what you believe in your heart, and it will become a confession of your mouth unto salvation. If you pray that prayer with us today, I would love to know that you've prayed it. Please reach out to us. Go to our website and click contact us so that we can help you take your next steps in your journey of faith. We'd love to baptize you on the beach in August. We would love to meet you and build a relationship with you, help you to get connected to the family of God. And we would love to help you identify your next step in your journey of faith. So if that's you, I want you to say this prayer with me right now. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Hey, listen, everybody, thank you so much for being tuned in, for staying connected with us in a digital way. We truly love and appreciate you for all that you give and all that you are. We'll see you next time.